been doing the seven things that churches do, things that we can put our hands on. And so today we're talking about anointing the sick. We're going to be in James chapter 5 a little bit later, so if you want to turn there ahead of time, but really I'm a little bit all over the place, but that's all right. So I have this great longing in my life. It's it borders on desperation. Years ago, when I was first saved, my mother came to me. I was probably, 17, maybe just barely 18. And she came to me, and when I lived with my father in South Carolina, I was told recently that people have trouble trying to figure out where I've lived and all the places that I say, so I think someday I'll put up a timeline of, every place I've been. And so she came to visit me in South Carolina, and I was a very young Christian, and I was full of boldness, full of it. I might have been full of it, but I was full of boldness. And I remember telling my mother, and meaning it, I think one day God's going to use me to lay hands on people and heal the sick. I had zero doubt that that was going to take place. And it has happened from time to time. I've prayed for people, and they'll bump into me a little while later, and they say, that stomach pain that I had, you prayed for me, and it went away. And so stuff like that has happened, but that day I was, and I got to tell you though, as life went on, I got to be perfectly honest and say that I don't know if I want to say God has called me, has led me to doubt that, because that's not what, because I believe that God can heal everyone, but initially, I thought that God healed everyone. Like, God healed everyone. And I would watch these TV shows. Kenneth Copeland was one of Kenneth Copeland, yep, and Benny Hinn, and a few others. And they would have these big events where people would come on the wheelchairs and people would fall down. And I got to tell you, I loved Benny Hinn. I liked watching the stuff that he did. As I've explored his theology, though, I'm not quite all there. But I had some friends, Isabel and Liam Jennings, and they have long since gone to meet the Lord, and now are dancing and are perfectly healed. But I remember they went. They made it on stage. Leo made it on stage. And he was there, and he had trouble walking, and they went up, and he fell down, and they got up, and they had him running around on stage. And then he came home. A couple weeks later, he was back to where he was. That was discouraging. When I was a kid, I was sick with asthma all the time. I'd miss a lot of school. I'd be on my green vinyl couch watching Pat Robertson on the 700 Club, and at the end of their show, they would have, there's someone out there. There's someone out there who has a lump on their face, and he would say something. And boy, I would just desperately want God to say, there's some boy out there who's laying down on a vinyl couch and he can't play with the kids and all that stuff, and God wants you to know that he is healing. I desperately wanted that. Can I say it never happened? It didn't happen. I still have asthma. I have a little cough. I've had it for a little while, and my doctor tells me that's what it is. And so there it is. I have not... I was always incredibly disappointed when the end of the show would come and I was not healed. And another thing that disappointed me was when God apparently didn't heal people. When my mother passed away from cancer at a younger age than she should have. So before I get started down this road, I want to answer the question, why doesn't God heal? Because it's important. Because we live in this world where eventually you're going to get sick and die. I mean, that's really, if that did not happen and God healed everyone, well, we would all be young and vibrant. We would all have all our hair, all of our teeth would be perfectly straight. We'd have no pimples or warts. I mean, it would just be perfect. But we live in this tent. That's going to fall apart someday. It just is. So there's that. So the first thing I want to talk about is the not enough faith. Because sometimes that's what faith preachers will often preach. They'll lay hands on someone and then they don't get better. And they go, well, they didn't have enough faith. Or someone in the room didn't have enough faith. And that's what blocked the healing from taking place. So I want to go through this. I want to go through a couple places in the Bible in Mark chapter 5, verse 34. You don't have to turn there, but here's the story. There's a woman with the issue of blood. Because this is what Jesus says in three places in the Bible. Your faith has made you well. And I want to address that statement. So this woman with the issue of blood, she's had it for years and years and years. The doctors couldn't figure it out. She couldn't get any better. They did everything that they could. She heard about Jesus and went, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. And so she pushed through the crowd, touched the hem of his garment, and of course, you know, he was healed. There was this pressing crowd against him, and Jesus said, who touched me? She fessed up, I did, it was me. And Jesus eventually said, well, your faith has made you well. So that's the woman at the well, and that's in Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 34. There's also the 10 lepers, and one of them comes back. Luke chapter 17, verse 19, there's 10 lepers that come to Jesus. These 10 lepers, Jesus heals them, and he says, I want you to go present yourself to the priests, have them wash you, do the mikvah, we talked about that a while back, dunk yourself in the water, so on and so forth. Do the things that you're supposed to do, and then when you're done, I want you to come back and follow me. Of the 10 lepers, one comes back. The other 9 don't. So he has this conversation. Where's the other 9? I expect the next line for the leper to go, that's not in there. But he says to the leper, he says to him, rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Then there's another one in Luke chapter 18, verse 42. We see this story. There's a blind beggar who's been a blind beggar forever. He lives off the people trying to raise money so that he could buy food. And so he hears that Jesus is coming by. And when he hears that Jesus is coming by, he says, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus has a little conversation with him, and he says to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. Now, these passages are often used by faith healers. Now, I say that with a little bit of disdain, because there's an awful lot of discouragement that can happen in the church. When I go to the faith healer and they pray for me, and my asthma's not gone, and my vision's not as good as it should be, and my hair keeps falling out, and my knee goes in the morning. Why? I believe that God, and you could not convince me that I don't believe God to do that. And those faith healers will point to these verses and they can insult me. Well, you don't have enough faith. You gotta stir that pot up. You gotta dig deeper somewhere. Build that deep something. Grit your teeth a little bit more and flex all your muscles to get your faith thing. I don't know. I don't know how you do the increasing faith thing. I don't know what position you have to stand in, what amount of time you have to pray, how much Bible do you have to read, or how many people do you have to listen to. And so what happens is you get all worked up, and sometimes you just don't get healed. And people get wounded, and they go, God's not real. It's discouraging. So I want to talk about these instances real quick. So I actually want to kill that argument. In Matthew 17, verse 20, Jesus performs a miracle. And the disciples say, well, how did you do that? And Jesus says, you know, if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, and you say to this mountain, move from here to there, it'll move. The faith as small as a mustard seed. I've heard lots of messages on what that means, but here's the main point of what Jesus is saying. Even a little faith is enough to get the job done. I like that story where the disciples are sent out to pray for the sick and to cast demons out of people. And they go out, they're having a good old time, but this one boy, the demon doesn't come out. And so they bring the boy, they bring the father. And Jesus says to him, all right, how long do I have to put up with this generation? Can I say that that was not his attitude? He asked that question as a point so that he could answer the question. How long do I have to put up with this generation? I'll tell you what, bring the boy to me. Here's the answer to that question. Always. How long is he going to put up with this corrupt and horrible? Always. Always. Even if your faith is puny. So he brings the boy, and they cast the demon out. He actually has this conversation with the father, and the father says, I do believe. Help my unbelief. You know what he's saying? I do believe, but maybe not all the way. You know, he's being human. He's just being the way people are. I do believe. But there's areas where you got to help. And so there's that. I love that little story. So the general idea here is that even a small faith is enough. In addition to that, we have to determine what Jesus meant by your faith. What did he look at when he said, your faith has healed you? Your faith has made you well. So we'll go back. We'll look at the woman. Here's what the woman did. Here's what Jesus saw. He saw a woman desperate for him. That's what he saw. I got to get through the crowd. I just got to get to Jesus. Jesus has all the authority. I've heard all the stories. I know that he can do it. I got to push. I got to, you know, the crowd. And I got to tell you, if you're bleeding for 12 years, you're not very strong. But she's pushing just to get through the crowd so that she can just barely get just a little bit of Jesus. Come on. That's what the faith was about. It wasn't some emotion that she had, some magic faith button that she pushed. She was going, I got to get to Jesus. I got to. It's the faith button. That's what he was talking about. Connecting with him and having to do it. And then there's the blind beggar. Son of David, have mercy on me. Can I tell you that son of David, those three words hold a lot of weight. Here's what the blind beggar knew. Jesus was in the lineage of the king. He knew Jesus had all the authority. He knew Jesus was the Messiah, because that's all the way. And when you know that the Messiah, it's not just that, yay, I get to see. It's he's going to deliver me from the results of my sin. Son of David, have mercy on me. He says, mercy. Have grace on me. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. That's important in this statement, because the blind man is saying, have mercy on me. And he's recognizing that he doesn't deserve that much. He's a human being full of filth, and his righteousness is his filthy rags. He knows all of that stuff, and he's crying out to Jesus, Son of David, my Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, have mercy on me. It wasn't about sight first. It was about sin first. That's important to know. Jesus says, as a sign, your sight can be returned. Your faith has made you well. I like the leper story, because this is very interesting. The 10 lepers come. Jesus heals all of them. All of them are healed. 10. 10 healed. So they're already healed. They probably went to the priest the way that they were supposed to, because if you don't go to the priest, and the priest doesn't proclaim you as clean, by the way, that was a 7-day process at least, but that being said, if you don't go to the priest, you can't go and hug your family anymore. So you have to do that. So they probably went and did that. And then the one leper came back. Leper, not leopard. The one leper came back, and Jesus has this conversation. Where are the other 9? I don't know. Jesus says to the guy, your faith has made you well. What did, can I want to pose this question. What did that faith heal the leper of? Now the nasty mean person in me wants to think that all the other nine lepers got their leprosy back. Did you know the Bible doesn't say that at all? I think that God is gracious enough to not necessarily do that. I think those nine other lepers, I keep saying leopards, those nine other lepers, I think they remained healed. I think they went home and they hugged their family. They had church picnics. I think it was all good. So what did Jesus mean when he said to the leper that was already healed, your faith has made you well? I'll tell you what. What he saw was a person who was doing what Jesus told him to do, chasing him down. I want to follow you. And when Jesus makes him well, it's more than leprosy. If you're to study out leprosy in the Bible, the leper was a person who would have to walk around, and they had to not comb their hair. They had to wear dirty, torn clothes. They couldn't go to Walmart and buy new ones or wherever you go. They couldn't do that. They couldn't comb their hair. They couldn't go to the beautician to get their toes done. They couldn't do any of that stuff. Not only that, but if they were in public around other people, they had to cover their mouth because they couldn't breathe. They had to walk around going, unclean, unclean, unclean. And when they did that, they had to do that so that the other people could get out of the way. Because if anyone touched the leper, they would become unclean as well. And the reason why they yelled unclean was because they were saying, there's something wrong in here that is exhibiting itself in this disease that I have. So that's what the culture of that day was, that you were unclean not just on the outside but on the inside. So when Jesus says your faith has made you well, after he was already clean on the outside, he's saying your faith has made you clean on the inside as well. So we take those places.